Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I beats me to it, and I'm like, all right, maybe I'll listen to this part, because there's always something. If it's Warrior related, or if there's a Warrior, a Niner, a Giant, San Jose Shark, kind of got to listen to it. You got to figure out some content here. TK's podcast, I listen to that, because he's always got good guests on there. I do. But not everybody should podcast. That was a terrible podcast. It was a terrible podcast episode. That sucked. But hopefully they get better, because I'm
not going to sugarcoat
them. Because here's the deal. I try to take this perspective in everything. Debo and IU, the first episode wasn't good. I think we all agree. It was just like, yeah. But I'm sure my first ever episode on 95.7 The Game, or my first ever podcast, whenever I did a podcast back in 2013, probably sucked. My first ever radio show in college at SF State probably sucked. They need reps. They need to get better. And so maybe they'll get better. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one before I crush them all and say, hey, stop podcasting. Don't talk anymore. Because I do think athletes do provide an intriguing viewpoint that fans are not privy to, information that we're not privy to, what they go through on a daily basis. But... podcasting's not for everybody.
That's for sure. And I'm not telling everybody to just shut up and don't do any of these things. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that understand your strong suits. For example, I'll raise my hand. I knew I wasn't going to make a great plumber. I knew right away. My entire family was plumbers. And I knew this isn't my strong suit. You know, I'm not good when it comes to like having a drill in my hand and a Phillips and a flathead. That's not who I am. Some would say I'm not good on a microphone, and that's their prerogative. They're fine to feel that way. I find it very difficult when you love these teams, okay, to sift through all of the podcasts to find a good one. It's really difficult for the listener out there. And so I get fatigued by the whole thing. It's like I feel the same way when I go onto Netflix or Max or any of these. There's so much stuff out there, and none of it is that I really want to watch.
Yeah, but it depends what you're looking for, right? Like Shannon Sharp's podcast. It's for him and Ocho Cinco. Funny as hell. I don't watch every one, but I know when I'm too in, I'm going to be entertained, right? Draymond, for example. You brought up Draymond Green.
Shannon Sharp, I'm glad you bring him up. He's a great entertainer.
He's a great entertainer.
He's very likable.
I'll say this about Draymond. There's a lot of stuff I don't like on the podcast, but then there's a lot of stuff I learned about the game of basketball. The guy does know his hoops, right? So I'm thinking like, all right, that's interesting to know. So I'll give, and I told him this 3 years ago. I was like, your podcast is, because we were playing a lot of his stuff 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. And I was like, sometimes you carry to our show. Thanks for the content, man. He kind of chuckled. It's cool with that. But, there's other, like KG and Paul Pierce. I know what to expect with a podcast. They're going to be fools. They're going to be clowning. Sometimes I want to hear that. Jeff Teague's got crazy stories. And it's from a perspective of an NBA player who wasn't a said superstar. So it's kind of interesting to hear him talk about, man, when I was guarding LeBron, man, we couldn't beat them. And boy, I just sat down. Or when he's guarding Curry in Tokyo, mm-hmm. He's like, man, I'm playing hard. And Curry's out there embarrassing me, man. I'm like, ah, hell nah. We in Japan, dog. You know what I'm saying? So it depends what you're looking for. Not every podcast is for everybody, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, that I agree with. I'm just saying that there's so many of them. I just think that the hit rate, in and outside of sports, there's so many of them. It's impossible to sift through them, number one. And number two, It just feels like too many are being done half-assed-wise. Like, and I look at Micah Parsons. Micah, dude, stop, dude. Like, just stop. You're doing more of a harm to yourself. You're a great player.
Is he though? Why? What kind of harm is he doing?
Chirping all the time. No one wants to hear it.
But what kind of harm is he doing to himself? I disagree with that. He's talking, and we just probably think he's annoying, but
yeah,
he's
going
to get every dollar on the football field.
Well, that's not...
He's still going to get endorsements.
He's
going to
get no matter what.
He still was out there with C.J. Stroud traveling the world last summer, last offseason. On the Bleacher Report during the draft, like, I don't think he's doing any harm. If you don't, you know, I disagree with that.
I think his product isn't good. Like, I've watched it. It's not good. The athlete podcast thing, I feel we reached a saturation point. It reminds me of when we got to cut the cord. We got to have a million streaming apps. And now you open it up every single night as a family and you're like, there's nothing to watch.
But honestly, though, with podcasts, I do respect podcasts in this sense.
That's how I came up.
Exactly. For some people who aren't fortunate enough to broadcast at a station like this or the station down the hall, you got a podcast and you got to get your broadcasting chops. You got to learn how to speak and have a cadence to it. So podcasts helped me out. So I'm, you know, people want a podcast, but we all have a chosen life to whether or not we want to listen to it. Real quick, Matt in the corner. Matt in the quarter pocket. What's happening? I'll get you on here. What's up?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'd like to give a shout out to all the overnight umbrellas that are being busted out along the peninsula, keeping everybody dry. And Shasky, man, I got to give you a big time shout out. That was an excellent show yesterday.
Thank you.
I was fortunate to catch an hour 20 plus, and the analysis and the passion and everything was right on point. Maybe your best show in a long time, bro.
Thank you. Some would say it might have been Rembrandt.
We could put it up there with the garlic fries. Let's do that. maybe that's a good way to put it. All right, so I got a question for you guys. It's a quick answer, and then I got a quick take on Gronk. It'll be fast. All right, it's a jersey year for me, and I got to get a new 49er jersey.
Okay.
I really wanted the black Patrick Willis jersey, but can only get that from Mitchell and Ness, so obviously not getting that one. So do I go red, white, Fred Warner, or do I go red, white, red or white, Patrick Willis?
I love the Fred Warner. Right now, I think I go Fred Warner. I think Fred is the jersey that I would have. I can't believe I'm even thinking this. I think him and Pat are equivalents right now. I think they're peers. I don't think one is above the other. I really do. I think Pat was the gold standard at his position for his generation, and I think Fred is the gold standard at his position in his generation. I think they're equals. And I can't believe I'm saying it because I didn't think I'd see anyone play the middle linebacker position as well as Patrick Willis, and here I am with Fred. Like, I have to tip my cap to the guy.
Monte.
Never go black jersey. That's my take on that. Never go black 49er jersey.
All right. I think that sounds good. And
real quick, Matt, don't be afraid to purchase from Mitchell and Ness. Mitchell and Ness is great quality, man.
No, bro.
And they're going to be out here for the All-Star weekend. They're going to be out here NBA All-Star weekend.
Yeah, but Bonte, you know why you can't do that?
Why?
Mitchell and Ness is owned by Fanatics, and Fanatics is a Philadelphia company. And I know that not everybody takes it that far. I get it. Now, you guys can laugh at me, punk me off the air, you know, do whatever you want to do. But I'm not, you know, I'm not down with Philly. I'm not down with the Eagles.
Well, unfortunately, Mitchell and Ness is also founded in Philadelphia, too, so. They do have good cheesesteaks. They do. All right. More coming up on the roast. Welcome back Wednesday. I thought it was Tuesday the whole damn time, dude. Where's my mind been? What's coming up in the game brought to you by Life Source Water Systems? Walk it back Wednesday, and we'll take the rest of your calls, 888-957-9570. You have the most pressure on them this week, man? Man, a lot of people down on Aiyuk.
It's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. pressure on IU, pressure on Purdy, pressure on the Niners. They're going to win this week. Sports Talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams, station, and shows. Catch amazing interviews you missed too, like when Mark Schlereth joined Willard and Dibs yesterday. Speaking of Mark Schlereth, I've been meeting the players for a couple hours now. What's his take on the Vikings loss?
I would say it was a bad game. And, you know, and it was, I think it was a really good game by Minnesota, really good game by Kevin O'Connell. You know, and the way they attacked the 49ers, I thought Fred Warner was all over the freaking place. That guy was amazing. But, you know, I think more of, you know, it was just a bad game. And like I said, Brian Flores and that defense, and they're very good. They really know what they're doing. They're a tough, they present a lot of dirty, muddy looks. And that's one of those things that, you know, it's not just your quarterback, it's other players, it's receivers, it's other players that also get confused and also make mistakes. So that's just one that I would chalk up to, they got us, it was a bad game, we didn't play our best, they made a couple of big plays, you know, you can't give up a 97-yarder coming off your goal line. Like, stuff like that, you know, that's one I would just chalk up to, hey man, bad game, we move on.
Bad game, we move on. What about Ayuk?
This is what you paid Ayuk for, right? Ayuk is wanted to be a top three wide receiver, want to be paid like a top three wide receiver. Well, you know, I've said it from day one, you're not, so you're going to take less than that. And that's just the way I feel. But, hey, now you can prove me wrong, right? You can be the go-to guy in this offense, and you can be the guy that bails out Purdy, and you can be his, you know, his number one guy. Go show everybody that you know, you sat, you know, you held in, for instance, for a reason. And so now it's your opportunity to shine. And I think he needs to take that very seriously and go out there and be the guy that takes all the pressure off the injured guys that they have.
It's kind of right. That's why you pay Ayuk, right? Step up, be that player, be that guy. And I'm expecting him to be that guy this Sunday. I really am. I'm expecting a big, big game from Brandon Ayuk.
He's in such a tough spot because, real or not, there's this perceived thing that, like, huh, I mean, you had to try to squeeze him for every single dollar, and you think you're better than you are. And I'm not saying that's how people are perceiving it. I'm not saying that they're right or wrong or whatever. That's just how people are perceiving it. And it's like, now you owe us. And it's so unfair and it's so difficult. And I think that people think that they're going to, like, oh, if he has a 12-catch, 200-yard game, now do it again. Now do it again and do it again. And that's pro sports,
yep.
Right? Especially when you get a lot of money. I mean, I look at Nick Bosa, you know, yep. He had the 2 sacks on Sunday and people are like, yeah, but we didn't get a stop on third down, you know? And I think this is just kind of comes with the territory when you're in pro sports, you're making a lot of money and your contract situation plays out as publicly as the Ayuk one did or as the Bosa one did. I mean, Trent's getting crushed. I thought Trent was Teflon, and now he's getting crushed. So I think this kind of comes with the territory, which brings me back to Brock Purdy. And it's like, he was your number one target, Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
And so I think right now is a great opportunity for the two of them to get on the same page, get the winning going, get the feel going, get the rhythm going. I think Juwan Jennings is going to be a big part of the game plan again this week. He clearly trusts Juwan Jennings. Yep. And I think they have enough talent to be able to win multiple games while Debo is out and while CMC is no longer here.
And they need to. You got to stack wins up here, man, against the Patriots and the Rams in the next couple weeks before the big boys start to come to town. Because we're going to be watching Arizona-Detroit and what happens in that football game. Another monster matchup in week 3. And what if Arizona comes out of there with a win? What if they come out of there with a win? What's that?
Saying it's huge.
Oh, yeah. Monster.
You don't think it's huge?
Monster. Monster. It's
absolutely
game.
Huge.
Monster game. That, look at what that can do for Arizona's program down there, for the Arizona Cardinals. A win against Detroit, a team that was in the NFC Championship, and all of a sudden Detroit's got to win. So they're thinking to themselves, boy, Minnesota's 2-0. They play Houston at home. Green Bay's going to get Jordan Love back. They stole a game against Indianapolis despite throwing the ball only 14 times. They got to stay afloat. They got to stay in that race in the NFC North. So all of a sudden, Minnesota's looking good here. Very, very intriguing games. But the Niners could just handle their own business, calm the waters. But you calm the waters, and all of a sudden, everybody's feeling good. Like, if Ayuk has a big-time performance in this game alongside Brock Purdy, you don't have Debo and Christian McCaffrey, think about the feeling on Monday morning. Think about the feeling Sunday afternoon. They get that win. Okay, Ayuk's back in speed. Trent's having a good game. You're running the ball. cool. You knocked a week out. Reinforcements are coming.
Confidence is infectious for the individual and for those around you. And so, yeah, if you start feeling confident and you're feeling good about yourself, I feel like that just raises the aura. That's why I've been so kind of surprised with Ayuk. He makes a catch, and normally he would do this whole like a first down kind of like a mojo thing, and he'd drop the ball and he'd look at somebody, and he had a presence about him, and I just haven't seen that presence. And maybe I'm looking way too deep.
He's trying to get right.
Yeah, but there was an aura that he played with last year. I want him to get back to that aura, because they need him to get back to that aura. And I feel like when you know you're starting to take over, you saw also Jordan Poole. Like, Jordan Poole was a great player when he was feeling himself and he was confident. And then once that confidence started to zap a little, it was like I was watching a totally different player. Yeah,
it was a different player. It was definitely a different player, Jordan Poole right there. Damn, we never played a Richard Sherman two safeties in Jefferson. Was it good? Was it a good soundbite? I didn't even play it. Here it is.
They allowed him to throw a 97-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. Unacceptable, no matter what part of the game you're in, no matter what situation, no matter if it's backed up, whatever the situation is. You got two safeties guarding Justin Jefferson. He split the defense. You should never put those guys in that situation. He should be doubled at all times. He's the best player on their football team. He's not a guy that you should let loose or not have an eye on or say, oh, they're going to run the ball. Let them run the ball. Let them run the ball in that situation. Too deep. We stopped Justin Jefferson. They ran a play like that in week one, had some success. It was a post corner to Justin Jefferson, had some success. This week it was a corner post, and he was able to get behind the defense. Sam Darnold threw a beautiful football for the 97-yard touchdown.
We enjoy his podcast, right, Richard Sherman? He's got a good podcast. He breaks it down.
You didn't care much for him, though, for a while.
I didn't care for him talking, but he gives good information as a
podcaster.
Yeah,
but he's also retired.
You know, so.
He's also retired.
He started podcasting. He started doing TV stuff when he was playing.
Not during the season.
He would do TV stuff.
Occasional.
He was always talking.
Occasional, but always. he also he felt engaged on the other end of the right. conversation. So I think this goes back to engagement level, right? Like, don't try to do a podcast and look like you don't want to do the podcast.
That was bad.
Right? I mean, that's all, you know? Like, I love Debo, dude. You know I do. Bad. And just, but like, bad. Seeing him, he's like one-word answers, and I felt right. bad for the host, the other host.
Sherman was good, though. Sherman's good. And hey, he's right about that play. That was... I got to get that one out of my head. Trust me. And, you know, we don't talk about it enough. And maybe that'll happen once Arizona comes to town. Maybe that'll happen when you play Seattle in their offense, because they're getting Jaxon Smith-Njigba rolling here. He had a monster day against New England. It seems like he's catapulting on top of Tyler Lockett on the depth chart in terms of targets from Geno Smith. Jaxon Smith-Njigba arrived last week at Gillette Stadium against the New England Patriots. But you're going to play these big boy offenses here after the Patriots and the Rams. I'm not trying to look too far down the road here, but when you do play Arizona and you play the Seattle Seahawks on a short week, and then you have to play the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys, I think the attention slowly but surely will shift to the defensive coordinator and Nick Sorensen. Right now, we don't know much about him. We don't know much about him. But what we do know about this defense is they can't get off the field on third down. Never got to rectify that in a heartbeat.
I keep coming back. Are they going to play George Odom this weekend? Are they going to play Malik Mustafa because he played late in that game? Are they going to make that switch? That's a personnel thing that I don't know. Again, I don't know how much that's the coach, the coordinator, a combination of both. Are they going to play DeVondre Campbell? Is D. Winters healthy enough to play? Because the second D. Winters is healthy enough to play, I think he needs to play over DeVondre Campbell.
And then what's the update with Drake Greenlaw? What are we looking at for him? Any timetable? No timetable?
I have a hard time.
No idea,
I have a
right?
hard time thinking he ever returns to close to what he was. And I feel like a hater saying it that bluntly.
So the Jets were 6 of 10 on third down. The Vikings were 7 of 12. So if I do my math correctly, that's 13 of 22. The Niners have given up on third down. It's not good. It's over 50%, folks. It's not good.
Well, it's the third and longs too. Yeah. The 3rd and 11 before halftime. The
3rd and 13.
Yeah, and then the 3rd and whatever late in the game when he threw that dime to 83. Like, yeah, those ones are tough.
Yep.
Those are tough because you're having a 5 or 7 step drop to be able to allow the route to get that far downfield, and that tells me pass rush isn't getting home.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, we're gonna get Kawakami just wrote an article, and there's more smoke coming from the Giants, and all of a sudden. the heat is rising when it comes to Farhan Zaidi. But it is 9:30.
Did you see the short Marty Lurie tweet?
Oh, yeah, of course I saw Uncle Marty.
Mark, you know, that's Uncle your Marty account.
That's my, that's
Uncle
my guy.
Uncle Marty, why don't you read what
he
said?
Just talked to him the other day. Folks are making a big deal about the Giants' play over these series. Somehow it would determine Farhan's fate. Not so. That decision has already been made by ownership. Information is being leaked to the media. Something will change in the front office. We will know what October 1st. Now.
Yay!
You like that, huh? You see that? And of course, Marty says, this is my opinion as to what may happen. Usually when the print media starts getting information that normally would be kept in-house, that is a sign for me. I've always thought an additional talent evaluator is necessary, one from the baseball side of the game. Let's see. Stay tuned. And that's why when I came back from vacation, watching the way the Giants played in Milwaukee, watching the way they played on that road trip, it was lifeless baseball. Lifeless. And what somebody told me shortly after the trade deadline, if they don't make the playoffs, October 1st could be a good day for Giants fans. Now, I believed the source, and then I started wavering. I was saying, I don't know what the Giants are going to do. But I do believe that October 1st will be a good day for Giants fans because they've never been down on the GM like Farhan Zaidi. Now, we haven't had many GMs in our lifetime, Sasky.
It's so funny how people talk in print media and on air about Farhan. He's so smart. Let me ask you this. Does anyone like Bob Myers? God, he's so smart. Does that even come up? Like, we figure you have a baseline of intelligence.
Yeah.
You know what I think of when I think of Bob Myers? If we're going intelligence, boy, he's emotionally intelligent. Boy, he understands how to connect with people. Jerry West, when he was running teams, did we go, God, he's just so smart. Mm-hmm. He's so smart. You know what smarts are great for? Getting your doctorate. You know what smarts are irrelevant for? Running a sports team when it comes to the roster. Like, yes, I assume you to be intelligent to a degree to where you understand 1 + 1 = 2, okay? I don't need you to have a doctorate, all right? Is John Lynch, if I were listing the skills for John Lynch, at what point does actual raw intelligence, even though he went to Stanford, when do I get to that when I'm listing his skills?
I don't know. Everybody's different. I don't know. When do you get to that?
Never? I don't think it's one of the top five skills of John Lynch. I don't.
I think it's kind of baked into the equation that when you get a job like that, that you have some sort of intelligence on how
to run a team. We trip over ourselves. Oh, he's so smart. Dog, going back to your AI thing, if I wanted smarts, I'd just hire AI to build the roster. Like, I need emotional intelligence. I need relationship building. I need to have foresight. I need to have fundamentals of the game. I need to understand how to develop individuals. I need to understand when my guy is struggling at the plate, I need to have a feel for what it's like to be that individual so that I know what it's like to get that guy back on track. Hey, you can't just bury him when a lefty comes up. Like, nope, you're never going to hit against lefties. Like, so I think we obsess about intelligence, and the same thing can be said for quarterbacking. Like, oh, what's his Wunderlich score?
I don't know what Josh Allen's
Wunderlich score is. I know he's really good.
He's a really good football
I don't know what Lamar Allen's Wunderlich score is. I know he's really good.
They say CJ Stroud had a terrible Wunderlich score or something like that.
Well, I know he's really good at football.
Well, he understands the game. Not many wing quarterbacks I would rather have than CJ Stroud.
That's my point. So I'm not saying that you can't be intelligent and also be great at your job, but you got to have other skills than just I'm really, 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 really book smart.
Well, I think what we overlooked all these years we overlooked was that he doesn't have a baseball scouting background. And that's what Sabian really kind of cut his teeth, you know, with the Yankees, the Jeter draft, and the Bernie Williams draft, and he becomes a GM. But he had that baseball scout mentality. He knew how to evaluate talent. And he missed. He missed a lot. There's no doubt. Bob Myers, he missed a lot. John Lynch has missed a lot. You're gonna miss. Bill Walsh missed a lot. You know? They missed. McVay, they missed a lot. But Farhan, when you don't have the baseball scouting pedigree, and then you don't have the personal touch in terms of working a room.
Relationship
building and then just having a feel for the game where you're platooning left and right. You're platooning. Like, really, we're playing this? And the inability to get a star here. And then the philosophy of everything. And then the excuse making on why you're not bringing in players. And then just, you know, just the line of the timing of everything. The timing of saying, We have the best rotation in baseball. We truly believe we had the best rotation in baseball. They're going to carry us. A couple weeks later, Robbie Ray's on the shelf. Jordan Hicks can't throw anything. You know, who's our guy? Randy Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He's been on the shelf. We saw that coming, right? Elbow's gone. You know what I mean? So you're running off fumes once again with your philosophy and the yo-yoing of bringing these guys up and down from Sacramento. That's why I call it the Sacramento Shuffle. And they missed the boat on the whole sponsorship thing. Amtrak should be the giant sponsor because you're yo-yoing guys back and forth to Sacramento. You don't have any patience. Baseball is... Is it imperative if you have patience with players in baseball?
Sports.
It is.
I would say sports.
It's sports too, but especially in baseball.
I agree.
Because there's going to be coaching. Like, you mentioned Gunnar Henderson's having he's struggling in the second half of the season.
Yeah, he is.
You're still going to play him every single day because he's Gunnar Henderson. Oh. You're going to let him play through that, right?
Absolutely.
Jackson Holliday is batting 169. They're going to give him at bats.
Yeah.
They try to fight through it. You know, so that the patience problem with Farhan, there's a lot of knocks on him. But to me, it's just like, what's the vision? What's the philosophy?
Well, you brought something up like a couple months back, and I don't know. I didn't know what to think of it because I wasn't there or whatever. And now I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, we went to that Olympic Club event, and it was a community event to raise money for our community, kids in our community. And Mike Dunleavy was there.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if Mike Dunleavy's a great, good, mediocre GM. I don't know. Like, time will tell.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Been on the job for about a year, year and a half. I thought that they did a really good job with the Brandon Pajemski draft pick.
Right.
Feel like they did a pretty good job with the Trace Jackson Davis draft pick.
Boom.
Now, there's more to it than just hitting on draft picks. But I was thinking about, like, dude, he just sat in the room like a normal dude.
Yep.
And was in there. I told some jokes about him. He smiled. He came over, gave us some stuff. And I was thinking, like, there's more to the job than just picking the right players. There's more to being part of our team. The teams are an extension of the community, right? And when I see John Lynch at certain events, and you've seen him talk at certain events, he feels like he's in on this community, and he's like in it with us. And there was a sense I got that from Mike Dunleavy, and I was thinking to myself a couple days after, I'm like, I wonder, like, could Farhan have sat there in that room with everybody, and I could make a joke about him and
right.
And he'd be okay with it? Would he be comfortable in that? Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be good at their job. I'm not saying that. But there is this lack of a part of us and being one of us in terms of the community aspect where he's really isolated himself. He's given himself no favors.
Well, you know, the Dunleavy thing's interesting because I saw him after fight night. He was at the bar. They were at the bar. They were having fun. I threw him the ones. He's all right, Bonta, I'll see you soon. And he was hanging out afterwards, way after fight night.
Really?
Hanging out, just chilling. Chilling, right? Bob Myers would do the same thing. Now, I mentioned this a couple times. The two Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame events I've attended, Farhan has been there. And I happen to be in the line. And I've told the story before, and I mentioned this to you. I think that's why you bring
it up. Yeah, that's
why
I was bringing
stuff.
It up, yeah.
Because we're in a bathroom, and the Giants had won in Milwaukee. They had won a big game in Milwaukee on a Wednesday afternoon or something like that. And some fan was like, Farhan, man, big win today. Big win, yeah. And, he's, and just went on about his business. And we talk all the time just being radio hosts. I try to stop by and talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, what's up? What's going on? Hey, I appreciate you listening. It means a lot. Like, it really means. I got this great message on my birthday from this guy. I think his name is Floyd. I'll pull it up in a second. But to my point, Farhan working the room, I was just like, wow. Didn't I go to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and I'm talking to a former player, and he's like, dude, look at him. He feels uncomfortable. I seen him at the Positive Coach of the Lions. He feels uncomfortable where the Warriors and Joe Lacob and Kirk Lacob, they're smiling ear to ear, talking to everybody, talking trash. And you got the Niners brass, and they're talking trash, and they're having a good time. Hey, man, you idiots in the morning. What do you say? You know, but there's no touch. And then we get to the quotes, and which I brought up last year when I went to the presser. And Luttman goes, Bonte, come to the presser, dude. Come to the presser. I wasn't going to go to that end of season presser, but I felt like questions weren't being asked. And he was making excuses and basically blaming the city in his own way of, hey, man, it's really tough because of the city politics and the economics and all that stuff. Even if you believe that.
You don't say
it. You don't say that out loud. And so when you do that, you can still climb. And not to mention, you hired Gabe Kapler after the stuff with the LA Dodgers. So already people are like, whoa, wait a minute here. I thought you was a smart guy. What's going on here? And at the introductory press conference for Gabe Kapler, you're defending what happened in LA for 40 minutes or trying to blame yourself. Yeah, I'm behind the woodshed here, and I'm trying to dig myself out of a hole and blah, blah, blah. So look, the guy obviously has found some players. This Bryce Eldridge kid may be good. He has done some good. I don't want to just say everything has been all bad. He's found some talent.
It's
he just, has.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. And then when you don't have the personal touch and you make excuses and some of the timing of the jokes and everything like that, it's not good enough here. These are the Giants. These fans are used to having somebody they can grab their arms around and say, that's our superstar. From Willie Mays to Willie McCovey to Will Clark to Robbie Thompson to Kevin Mitchell to Matt Williams to Barry Bonds to Jeff Kitt to Lincecum to Bogarters. We are used to having a guy where we can wrap our arms around and say, that's our dude. And right now, the Giants are so damn irrelevant in this market, it's not even funny. The San Francisco Giants. I got people telling me whenever we bring up the Giants, they turn the radio. They turn the radio off. It's crazy.
There were times 6-7 years ago you could do 4 hours on a double play at second base. Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
I mean, it's crazy. And you know, the thing that I continue to come back to is they've been irrelevant for multiple months in year six.
Yep.
With the third wild card in play.
Yep.
It's just
I actually just got off the phone with the White House. I called to ask if negotiating three deals with Scott Boras in one offseason qualifies you for a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Shut up.
No wonder Scott Boras wants him to keep his job. Listen to that quote right there.
It's bad. That's bad.
All right, walk it back.
Real quick. Kawakami's first story in SF Standard.
Oh.
He's writing because remember Kawakami said, I think Farhan has done enough to keep his job, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But he goes, at the tail end of the Giants' third consecutive failed season, it's getting harder and harder to figure out what those reasons would be. He believes Greg Johnson, Buster Posey, several other leading parts of their ownership group would love to discover a compelling rationale to bring Zaidi back. I believe that they plan for next season, not this one, to be the inflection point of Zaidi's tenure, which began in November 2018 and has produced only one playoff season. They hired Zaidi's close associate, Bob Melvin, as manager last season, announced a contract decision, blah, 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 blah. But in big-time sports and all endeavors, when you have a pretty firm idea that you'll have to move on from somebody in a year, you might as well do it now. Waiting on the inevitable just makes things worse. Even if you really don't want to fire the executive, even if, as I believe, ownership signed off on just about everything Zaidi has done, precisely on the budget he's been given, even if he's gone about his job exactly as he said he'd do, it's been 6 years ago. Even if it's not really a clear-cut candidate to take his place and there's zero guarantee that next executive will do better, there may be an expiration date. And so we could get more into this tomorrow about Tim Kawakami's piece here. It's just not good. The crowds are not good. The interest is not good. I'm sure the television ratings are good because we need something to do. I was watching the Orioles game on a random Tuesday. I haven't watched the Giants baseball game in 5 days. I freely admit that. I've been so checked out, it's not even funny. Not even funny. And even from afar in New York City, Shaska, as I'm watching the Giants, people are laughing at us.
Bonte.
That must suck.
The worst teams in the National League, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Nationals, the Pirates, the Giants. They're closer to the bottom of the barrel than they are to the fifth wild card spot.
Nope. Man.
The Detroit Tigers have a better record right now than the Giants.
You know who's running the Tigers? Remember Scott Harris?
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
He's doing a pretty damn good job. He left this building.
Scooble!
It's tough. Tough, tough, tough scene for the San Francisco Giants, man. Tough, tough scene. All right, let's...
But at least we're not the White Sox.
No, I would rather be the White Sox.
36-116.
If you're going to suck...
You would not rather be
the White Sox. If you're going to suck, go
just
suck.
Stop it.
Being 500...
I'd rather be the White Sox.
You're basically the Atlanta Hawks of the late 90s.
Get out of here.
You know, like, I just...
Get out of here. I'd rather be the White Sox. They don't even have a draft pick next year. They're so bad.
I mean, they are terrible. I read the story. Did you guys read the story on Jeff
Passan? A day in the life of a White Sox player?
He spent 24 hours with the White Sox. Yeah. It was hilarious. Hilarious.
Hey, anyone could do anything for 24 hours. It's day two that always gets you.
You can't do 48?
Trust me. I learned that, you know, watching my own son and doing this show. My favorite is like Evan like filled in for you for a day. Everybody was gone. And I go, he goes, man, I feel great after day one. Day two, what did he look? The guy looked like he'd been in the desert for 40 days.
Not easy, boys.
He had eye bags. I go, bro, relax, dude. There wasn't even a game last night.
He doesn't even have kids.
He had no idea.
Doesn't even have kids yet, man.
I know he's single. That's why he gets to stay out late. It's tough for the next mornings.
That is true. That is true. When I was working middays, man, I didn't go to bed before 12. That's for damn sure. Whether they were sleeping on SportsCenter or what, but those days are long gone.
The Diamondbacks are 83-68. You're chasing the D-backs. You're the D-backs.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Way back Wednesday.
Oh my goodness, Bonte.
Hey, we have a lot of takes on the morning roast.
I will be shocked if Trey Lance is a starting guy quarterback in week number one.
Some are better than others.
Oh, I'm going to be real with you. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play for the 49ers. Undeniable talent.
And we get a bit carried away with a take.
He asked you about the presence.
Oh my God, the moxie.
When he steps in the huddle,
bro,
there's a different swagger to this offense.
Sometimes we have to walk it back.
Poor Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not going to say more because he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of cake.
Bro.
He's got the J's.
It is a Walk It Back Wednesday on the Morning Roast.
Oop. Oh, man. What are you walking back, Chastity?
Well, you know, they say when you do a 180, you go to the other side. And then sometimes people say, I'm doing a full 360. It's like, well, now you're back at your original opinion. A few weeks back, I walked back my Bo Nix slander and Sean Payton. But that's not where I'm going to go. That's not where I'm going to go. Did you know that not one rookie quarterback has thrown a touchdown this year?
So what are you walking back?
I thought that Caleb might be unbreakable, meaning he would be decent no matter where he went, no matter what. I don't know. In the words of Steiny, I don't know. But I will say this. Yeah, I dramatically overrated this entire draft class. Bo Nix, Caleb.
It's early.
Jalen. I'm ready
it's
to say
early.
It. Jalen Daniels.
Two games in.
Jaden Daniels. He can run. He can't throw.
Maybe the Patriots are right to, you know, have Drake make him off the bench.
Hey, Michael Penix.
You know my philosophy. There's been exceptions to the rule, but I prefer to sit a rookie for a year. I just prefer to do it. I don't care. Let him learn. I mean, Caleb's getting his brains beat in. Beat in.
But also in this quarterback conversation, I do also want to walk back one other one. I thought there was no way in hell Russ wouldn't get a couple of starts. I think it's over. I don't think Russ plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. I think Justin Fields is going to do just enough to hang on to that job. And as long as they keep winning, they might be 4-0 when it's all said and done. How do you, like, once you get to four wins, all you need is like five more. And boom, you're in the playoffs. I don't see if Russ ever plays again. I'm walking that back. I thought Russ was going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. I thought we were going to get a little look at it. I don't know.
I'm going to wait on Caleb. I'm going to wait on these rookie quarterbacks. I'm going to give them a year or two. I'm not going to jump the gun yet on that. But I will walk back something I said last week. And I felt like this guy was playing quarterback with me in his mind saying, oh, yeah, Do you think this guy's played a better football than me? Now, Brock Purdy has played better football than Joe Burrow over the last year. I may say some things. Right now, I'm taking Brock Purdy over Burrow. Right now. But Burrow's a more talented player. I did admit that. Burrow's a more talented player.
What does that even mean?
That
what,
he's,
you're
that
talking
he's,
in circles.
No, I'm not talking in circles. I'm talking. Don't talk about talking in circles. I get dizzy every single day on this show with you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just had a good joke.
While I apologize, Sam Darnold, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. You want to walk that one back?
I've got a few.
20-point win. Exactly. Look, I said Brock Purdy was playing better football than Joe Burrow. Then I watched Joe Burrow go to Kansas City last week without T. Higgins, and it felt like he was throwing every pass with me in his mind. Take this. Take that. Take this. Take that. And thank God they called pass interference on 4th and 16. Because if Joe Burrow would have won that game, I wouldn't have heard the end of it. So I'm walking it back. Joe Burrow is a top five quarterback in his league, man. That dude was spinning it last week, man. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. Now get Jamar and chase the damn football, please. But I walk that back. I walk that back. If you put Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy on the table right now, say, who you want? I'm taking Joe Burrow.
All right, so I'm going to walk back something I said about Trent Williams last week. Last week, I pretty much said, Trent, you're good. You don't need to show up to camp next year after his Monday night performance. But then Sunday happened, and sorry, Trent, now you got to report to camp next year. You gave up, what, 2 or 3 sacks on Brock? That's 2 or 3 too many. So see you at training camp next year, Trent.
Damn.
What am I going to walk it back today? Sam wanted me to say walk back the Raiders sucking this year. They still might. I'm not taking one. The Ravens might be junk this year. I don't even know.
Win of the decade.
Yeah, it was a really big win. Great. Congratulations. The first time they've won being down 10 points in the fourth quarter in like 49 straight games. Something ridiculous like that.
Are you
going
to apologize to Derek Carr?
I'm not going to apologize to Derek Carr because you know why? The Cowboys are fraudulent, okay? I'm not walking back anything today is what I'm doing, actually. Now that I think about it, Derek Carr is going to prove it to me these next couple weeks because that was my quarterback I had an eye on. What was that? Our four-down territory, the one quarterback you had an eye on this week? Mine was Derek Carr. You beat the Carolina Panthers. Congratulations. Everyone's going to beat them this year. Might be one of the worst teams you've ever seen. You beat the Cowboys, who get blown out at least 3 or 4 times every year in the regular season. Let's see what you do in Kansas City, Derek, in a couple weeks. That's what I want to see on Monday Night Football when the Saints go to Arrowhead. That's going to be the litmus test for me.
Do you know why the Niners lost last week? Because that game was on CBS. I don't like when they're on CBS.
Two NFC teams, too. It doesn't usually
happen. I don't like it. I don't like
it. They beat the Cowboys in a wild card game on CBS.
Yeah, but that's playoffs. It's different. The algorithm goes out the window.
Who did they play on CBS last year?
But I don't like it when Cincinnati, two NFC teams are playing. Yeah, they lost. But that makes sense because the AFC team traveling on the road.
So you don't like when two NFC teams
are
played
on it. I don't like it at all.
How many games do they have on CBS?
It's not the way it needs to be. We're a Fox household on Sundays for the Niners.
Oh, my God.
Make sure that's a very specific quote.
So Kevin Harlan in the building, they lost because of Kevin Harlan.
I'm just saying, like, you guys know how I feel. When you look and you hear the CBS and it's the Niners, it's like, no, it's not right.
Well, here's... Let's go to final thoughts, because I got a final thought.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Stretch Lab. Shout out to the Stretch Lab. I'm going tomorrow to get stretched out. About 3 weeks. They hooked me up. They hooked me. Angie, Allie. Dude, what do you mean? There's no pause with hook me up.
Stretched out.
They stretch.
Get your mind out of the gutter. We're shouting out some good people and good folks here.
Thank you. There goes that dollar bill. Kevin Harlan. Here's my final thought. Kevin Harlan, take it away with Willard or Dibs.
He's going to have to be lights out. And quarterbacks that make $40, $50 million a year, that's the way they've got to play when they don't have every part at their disposal. And he's not going to have the parts that make that team special. He doesn't have the engine and McCaffrey. He doesn't have that ubiquitous piece in Deebo Samuel. He's going to have to, you know, the offense is going to have to adjust, and he's going to have to be right there leading that adjustment. So these next weeks are incredibly revealing, and I think it will just solidify his place, not just for this season, but for the rest of his career, in how he handles this offense without having the main parts and the most headline-making guys at his disposal.
My final thought is this. I think we're underselling Brock Purdy. I think this man is keenly aware of the assignment over the next couple of weeks. I think he lives for the moment. I think he clearly wants to be that kind of a leader. This is a young man who screamed and yelled at people as a rookie making nothing, who was a third string quarterback. Hey, pay attention in the huddle. I think we're really underselling. He's going to have a monster weekend. Let's go.
I think we're just overselling everything these next 2 weeks with all the pressure on Brock Purdy. He's playing a Rams team that's decimated with everything, and you got the Jacoby Brissett Patriots next week. You should win these games. Like, I'm not, this isn't the end all be all these next 2 weeks. Just win the games. That's all I care about if I'm a Niner fan. Just win. You should win these games. And Brock Purdy still has the better team in both of them. So I don't really know what we're doing here.
By the way, the Niners beat the Arizona Cardinals last year on CBS 45-29.
Oh, and Kevin Harlan was on the call on both Super Bowl losses for Westwood One.
That was the
and
game three, that Brock actually, took Westwood a bad hit in. I don't like the games on CBS. I don't
they
like
won
them.
The game on
it's,
CBS.
It's not traditional.
They take big hits on Fox, too.
I'll agree with Shaz. There, it is weird when you have NFC teams on CBS. It's weird when you have two AFC teams on Fox. It's just, I don't have an issue with it. It's just,
I'm not disputing that. It is weird.
My final thought is, I mean, it's weird what's coming out of the Giants right now. It's kind of hard to make heads or tails of it. We will see what goes on with Farhan Zaidi, but you guys are talking about just that emotional touch that he lacks, and my guess is if he could do this all over again, he would try to have more of that touch and how he did this job. You know, we say a lot about Brian Sabian, good and bad. One thing we can always say about Sabian, though, is you know he loved the players on this team. You know he had this emotional connection to this team that he loved seeing the team and the players succeed. He loved seeing the fans enjoy that success. I don't know if Farhan has ever really had that. It's always just been numbers, stats, the human element always gone. And, you know, that's really what we're kind of seeing here coming down at the end.
And that's kind of spot on because we think about all the players who have spoken out about the direction of the team or the way they've been used and Phantom ILs, Ross Stripling, J.D. Davis. There's been many, many players who've spoken and they've had some disdain on how the Giants have run their program. So anyway, that's it for us. That's it for us. Some of you are happy that we're off the air. Some are not. But we'll be back tomorrow. Don't you worry. 6 a.m. in the morning. That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. I hope we're all to go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. That's it for us. Starty Gudex right here on 95.7 The Game. I would rather be the White Sox.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.